Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. So, Shelley, my first question is, are spouses considered dependents under the ACA?
Hi, Jim. No, spouses are not considered dependents under the Affordable Care Act. As such, the employer is not required to offer coverage to the spouses. If they do wish to write spouses out of that offering, they definitely need to look at their underwriting requirements or speak with the carrier that they're talking about doing this with.
Now, Shelley, my second question, who is considered a dependent on a group health plan? Can I cover the child of my dependent?
That's a question that's been coming up a lot lately is, can I cover the child of my dependent? And the answer to that is no. So when you look at your description of who is eligible on your group plan, it would be your children, those that you adopt, those that would be considered under your care, custody, and control, as required by the state or a ward of the state or things like that. But when your child has a child, that grandchild of yours is not allowed to be covered under your plan. And so that grandchild would need to get coverage somewhere else.
Is the owner of a company considered an employee of said company?
It sounds like it's a simple answer, and it is, and the answer is generally no. So depends on how your company is set up. A lot of people are sole proprietors. They're not employees. If they have a subchapter S corporation set up, they are not employees of the company. If they have a LLP or LLC, which would be partnerships where the owners would get K-1s, they are not employees of the company. The only time you would have the owner of a company be an employee is with a C corporation. So when you have a C corporation set up, all of those owners, officers would also be employees of the company. But most of what we work with day to day out there, we're talking about sole proprietors, subchapter S owners, and partnerships of some type, and those owners of that company are not counted as employees of the company.
Now, Shelley, are association health plans able to be created under the ACA?
So when the ACA came out, they did have some excitement about bringing association plans back. And that excitement was quickly quelled by all of the states. So many of the states over the years have offered association health plans, or I shouldn't say they've offered them, but they have entertained them. So different associations have been created, but the state was left holding the bag for a lot of things. As the association health plans lost their members, their plans did not pan out, and so they ended up going bankrupt. The state had to pay pennies on the dollar to get a lot of those claims settled. So they said, we're not doing this anymore. So in some states, technically, yes, you can set up an association, but they are very difficult to get past. There are other states that we work with that just say no. The association plans that exist, we allow them to continue, but we are not allowing any new plans to be created. So it is state specific, and you do need to check on the laws and rules of your state before you decide if you want to move forward with creating an association in that particular state.
What is a seasonal employee and seasonal worker? How do they help when determining ALE status?
So ALE is applicable large employer, and that is an employer that has 50 or more full-time and full-time equivalent employees. So the key there is the full-time equivalent part, and that's where the seasonal worker and the seasonal employee would come in. So if I'm that employer that is counting my employees, I count all my full-time people, and I kind of put that count aside, and now I'm focused on all of my part-time people, which would include my variable hour people, my seasonal people, and I count them and they get me over 50. But because of the way the ACA laws are written, I am able to take out my seasonal employees, my seasonal workers. So that may help to keep me under 50 where I don't have to offer coverage that is minimum essential, minimum value, and affordable. A seasonal employee is someone who generally works a particular season, like a lifeguard at a beach in the summertime, a ski instructor at the mountain in the wintertime, retail help that comes in at this holiday season to help the store out because they're busier. A seasonal worker is someone who works 120 days or fewer in the year, and they do not have to be consecutive days. So when you're counting to figure out if you are 50 or more, do you have to offer coverage that is max minimum value and affordable? And if you don't offer that, you could face a penalty. That's where we're looking at those seasonal workers. Otherwise, you can classify them as that, but some of them still may or may not be eligible for coverage.
Every state offers a CHIP program for kids. How does a parent enroll their child?
So this kind of goes along with all the questions we asked earlier about dependents and, you know, my child has a child and are they covered? So I always say you can enroll the child in a CHIP program. And every state sets up their own CHIP program based on what they want to cover. It has to cover kids. And it's kids up to the age of 19. So when that grandchild is born, that grandchild is age zero and can be eligible for a CHIP plan as soon as we establish their birth date. So every state may offer additional things, but you can get the CHIP coverage in two ways. You can go to healthcare.gov if you are in a state that does not have their own state-specific exchange or marketplace, and healthcare.gov will connect you to the state agency where you can get the CHIP plan in that state that you're looking for. If you are in a state like New Jersey or New York that or Pennsylvania that offers their own state-based plan, then you can go into that state-based plan, and again, they will connect you to that state agency. Or you can go to the state website, and you can ask, you can just type in CHIP, and it will take you to whatever that website is as a part of that particular state that will take you to the application process for the CHIP plan particular to that state.
Does every employee need a 1095B form, and where do they get one?
So the 1095B forms are often produced by the insurance carrier. Every insurance carrier is required to create a 1095B form and send it in to the IRS to show proof of every person that they covered, even for a day, under their plan. There are also employer groups that are required to do 1095B forms. We know that level funding or small group self-funding, whatever you want to call it, is very popular these days. And those small group self-funded plans or level funded plans are required to complete a 1095B form for every person that participates in their plan. That's whether that person is a subchapter S corp owner or they are a COBRA participant, everybody gets a 1095B form. There is no longer a requirement from the IRS to report that an individual has coverage on their plan. So an individual doesn't really need that 1095B form from the carrier. If they want it from the carrier, they can certainly go to their specific portal for their own individual plan, and they can get the 1095B. They can call customer service and ask for a 1095B. It basically gets dropped into their income tax paperwork, and if ever asked to show proof that they have coverage, they do it that way. With those level funded or self-funded plans, you do get the 1095B form from your employer, but the only thing that you're required to do with it is to keep it in with all of your other tax forms, and if you're ever asked to provide proof, you do it that way. So some of the carriers of those level funded plans do help by allowing that employer to get a copy of the 1095B forms, and it helps them to fill it out. We also have some help in some videos and some papers that we have made available if anybody needs that, but it's not a requirement to have a 1095B form, but a lot of people are still looking for one. So that's the various different ways that you can get one.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.